You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Don't adjust your dials. You're entering a zone of pop culture references and movie quotes. Welcome to the Nerd Overload. I'm Josh.
I'm Sam. And this week we have a special third chair, special guest host, Josh.
How's it going, everybody?
There's two Joshes here, so it's going to get real confusing. So
he's Earth 2 Josh.
Get ready. Yeah. Thank you for joining us, everybody. We have a great show for you. Got a bunch of news. But first, we're going to get into some stuff we've been checking out. And tell you what, Josh, you're the guest here. Why don't you go first?
Not a whole lot of stuff majorly I'm checking out like now. I watch a lot of Rooster Teeth content. I don't know if you guys ever catch anything that they do. They just did
Red versus Blue.
Yeah, a lot of Red versus Blue.
And I watch a lot of Ruby.
Ruby's great. They actually just started a new live action series last week called Day 5. It's like a actual full on dramatic series, 45 minutes long every episode. It's fantastic. It's basically takes place after like an apocalyptic event, and if you fall asleep, you die.
Oh, okay.
At like 3 a.m., just everybody was asleep in the world is suddenly dead. On the fifth day of being awake, they're trying to either find a cure or just stop hallucinating and figure out what's going on.
Wow.
It's sleep deprivation.
Very good.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It's far better than any web development series has any right to be, and it's very good for that.
So. Yeah, they've been putting out some pretty good content lately. Is that the Freddie Wong?
No, not Freddie Wong.
That's Rocket Jump.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah, I get those mixed up.
Freddie
sometimes.
Wong did recently do an episode of Red vs. Blue, though. He did a short video for him.
So. That's what I'm thinking. Okay. All right.
But no, it's a full-on Rooster Teeth production. It's all in-house for them, so they actually have real actors cast in it with some of the other people involved. So I'm enjoying it very much. So it's definitely worth checking out if you're on there. The first episode is free to watch on YouTube.
Okay.
So it's definitely something worth checking.
Oh, so is this a YouTube Red kind of thing?
First episode is free on YouTube, and then all the others are going to be, if you're a Rooster Teeth sponsor,
gotcha.
You can catch them on there.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool.
So that's what I've been checking out this week. I don't know about you guys.
Big thing for me was the Mystery Science Theater reunion there. You were with me on that one. Yeah, they did a Riff Tracks. They put on these live events every now and again. And what they do is they have a live event at a theater. They just pick a theater. Some of them have been in California. There was one that was done in Kentucky, I think. And then they simulcast it out to just a ton of theaters. So it's all live, but you know, it's like you're there, but you're not really there. And this most recent one, they were able to get the majority of the original Mystery Science Theater cast together for it.
Joel and Mike on the stage together. So.
Yeah, Joel, Mike, Trace. I was psyched for Trace Beaulieu and Bill Corbett because they never worked together. They were the two voices of Crow-T Robot, and that was really cool to see them riff together. That was excellent. But the whole thing was great. I loved it. They just did a bunch of shorts. They didn't do a full movie, but the way they did it, I think, was...
Yeah, doing the shorts definitely worked in their favor. Like, it gave everybody a chance to shine, for sure. Like, I liked Bridget Nelson and Mary Jo Peel. Date with Kay was fantastic.
Yeah.
So.
Theirs wasn't Date with Kay.
Or not Date with
that
Kay.
Was
Housewives one.
Yeah, the one about the housewives where they were making fun of how crazy sexist like the 50s stuff was. It was pretty great. Yeah, that one was good. There at the end when they did everyone on stage together and did a couple of shorts. That is corn grass.
I mean, you know,
the eternal question.
Can I wear it as a headdress? That's the question.
Can you make a terror mask out of grass? Yeah. I think the answer definitively is yes.
You don't even know, Josh.
Oh man, it was a good one.
You never heard a whole theater gasp out loud in terror at a grass mask.
Yeah.
except for Batman and Robin when Poison Ivy showed up. That's different.
But overall it was really good, and it served a couple purposes. I'm glad that they were able to get everyone together, but I'm more excited now for the new Mystery Science Theater episodes coming out.
Jonah Ray was actually there with them, and he did a great job.
He did a great job. His timing was off just a little bit on a couple of the jokes, but he was able to hit it.
And to be fair, that he wasn't the only one. You know, some of the others had some bad timing too.
That's a live
show.
Yeah, it's a live show. I'm pretty sure Frank missed a handful of his riffs because he didn't have a whole lot to say. But when he
when he said something,
it hit. Oh sure, but I'm a little more at ease with the whole new MST stuff.
I like that Jonah had his own voice, and he wasn't aping either the other two guys.
Yeah, I mean, there was plenty of, you know, movie references and stuff, but he did a lot of, pointing out xenophobia and pointing out, like, that kind of stuff, which is good. It's, like, socially conscious kind of riffs, and that's cool. I like that.
It's different than Joel and Mike, for sure.
So. Yeah, and that's good. That's what it needs to be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But no, beyond that, I don't know. I've been watching a bunch of old cartoons. I found the first couple episodes of The Toxic Crusaders. Do you remember that?
No, I can't say I've seen that one.
So. Okay, so The Toxic Crusaders. So I've been on kind of a trauma kick. You know, after meeting Lloyd Kaufman, I've been kind of going through and watching a lot of his stuff. And arguably his biggest contribution to, film culture was The Toxic Avenger. Super R-rated, super violent, gory...
Trauma film,
basically. I mean, that's the best way to describe it. It's a trauma film, and in the early 90s, I think it might have been Mattel, actually, a toy company, bought the television rights to the characters Toxic Avenger and built a children's cartoon based around Toxic Avenger. Well, I mean, it was around the same time that they did Rambo and the Forces of Freedom and the RoboCop cartoon. It was part of that turning 90s R-rated movies into children's television to sell toys. And so the Toxic Crusaders were born. And he was the leader of a squad of similarly mutated bio freaks out to clean the Earth in a very Captain Planet-esque fashion.
I remember. I used to watch the crap out of it.
Sounds like a good show. I have to check it out.
Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I think I might have had a Toxic Avenger toy.
Oh, I had a couple.
Yeah, but they're bad. It's really bad. The animation is not good. It is a toy delivery system in the best and worst possible way.
I mean, that's a lot of the 90s cartoons, to be fair, though.
Totally.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Basically, if you're going to copy the Ninja Turtles formula, they're all pretty much the same.
Oh, yeah. And The other cartoon that I've been watching a lot of, and I sat and watched all 13 episodes of this, is a cartoon called Skeleton Warriors. And Josh is laughing because I can't stop singing the theme song to Skeleton Warriors because it is the most metal thing I've ever heard come out of a cartoon. I might even drop a little bit of it in right now. But it is super great. The show is terrible.
Oh, garbage.
It's real bad, but the animation style is comparable to the 90s Spider-Man cartoon. Ooh. It's actually the animation, at least in that first couple episodes, is not bad. It's like that heavy shaded kind of look. Almost Spider-Man, the future? Spider-Man 2099?
Spider-Man Unlimited.
Yeah, that's it. Almost like a hybrid between the original Spider-Man and that one. It's kind of that kind of...
So none of the amazing, awesome 90s CG the Spider-Man 90s series has.
Oh, no, there's a little bit of CG. Oh, okay. In fact, in the opening. The narrator is a giant talking skull, gold CG skull, by a voice actor. Sounds an awful lot like someone doing a Christopher Lee impression. These are the tales of the Skeleton Warriors.
Can we be sure it wasn't Christopher Lee himself?
It might have been. You never know. But it was, it's a toy delivery system in the best and worst possible way. But so in the show Skeleton Warriors, the skeletons are the bad guys. They are not, we don't follow the Skeleton Warriors. We follow the people who fight. So they're not Skeleton Warriors. They're warriors who fight skeletons.
And one of them is a zombie skeleton guy.
One of them's kind of a zombie skeleton. They all have superpowers, and it's just the barest of plots. Oh, yeah.
It's paper thin to the best.
Yeah, da 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 da. Skeleton Warriors. I love it. I love it. It's great. I mean, it's terrible, but it's great.
You seem to go on these kicks once in a while. I get nostalgic.
I get hooked on something, and that's all I'm about for a while. Totally.
Because when was the last time we did this? Was it the Lunatics or whatever?
Lunatics.
You're Lunatics, Unleashed. Yes.
Have you ever heard of that?
It sounds somewhat familiar.
It was a Looney Tunes Batman Beyond-esque
future where they're all superheroes, and it's the worst.
I vaguely remember.
Oh, it's so bad,
man! It's rough.
Yeah.
Was this another 90s one?
Or? Well, this was late 90s, early 2000s CW. Well, no, not CW. The Kids WB.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. And it's all like the descendants of the original Looney Tunes characters
in
like these
future.
Black, you know, spandex costumes where they all have superpowers and it's bad.
Weren't they fighting like Vikings or something weird?
Vikings or something that may or may not be Yosemite Sam. Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Yep. And the thing is, it was devoid of comedy. It was serious action show.
Yeah. It was trying to be kind of like Mighty Ducks.
The kind of thing. I mean, but not the movie Mighty Ducks, like the
cartoon.
When I think Looney Tunes, I think dramatic action,
of
not
course.
Comedy.
So. Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, action star Bugs Bunny, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, block parry thrust. Quang.
Yeah. But that's it. That's what I've been digging into. So.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Skeleton Warriors. Next time, now you need to go back and rewatch, I don't know, like the Godzilla cartoon.
Oh,
after the movie.
Are you talking about the
Matthew Broderick movie?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I remember that cartoon.
Okay, because I was thinking of the one with Godzuki.
And Godzuki.
Oh, yeah. With so the bad. Yes. Godzilla's son with the voice of Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. Yeah, with the weird like bat wing.
Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, bad news.
Or the Men in Black cartoon.
That one was pretty rough. I did not.
I never watched
that one,
it. It was awful. I remember it existing. So.
It was awful.
Oh, if you want to get bad, find a Mortal Kombat Defenders of the Realm.
Oh, I know.
That one's rough.
Yeah, it's combat time over and over and over again.
Chuck Norris's Karate Commandos.
You know, there's only 5 episodes of that. I remember that vividly, but there's only 5 episodes of it.
That was a toy delivery system, too.
Yes, it was. Oh, yeah.
Really badly made toys, might I add.
Okay. Hammer Man. Do you guys remember Hammer Man?
MC Hammer's cartoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where he's a superhero with parachute pants.
Yep.
Magic parachute pants.
Yeah. I thought he was that in real life.
Well, of course. Yeah. Well, his superpower is losing money, apparently.
Too soon.
Too soon? Really? Really? 20 years?
Yeah.
Everything's too soon.
Yeah. All right.
I remember one of like the little thingies at the end of his show like was either a PSA or a fun little crafty thing.
Oh, that was always a thing.
And they taught you how to make MC Hammer pants out of trash bags.
Which is funny, because that's what MC Hammer does now.
Fitting for later in life, I was going to say, yeah. Oh, man.
Ooh, boy.
Yeah.
So, see what I've been checking out. Oh, I have gone back and I rewatched Young Justice.
Okay, good. Not a lot of it, but
no,
good.
Two seasons.
Take you about a day and a half to get through,
yeah,
I'd imagine.
2 seasons and hopefully a third.
Here's hoping.
I know, right? But, I forgot Netflix had it, and I was just kind of zipping through it, and I was like, hey, I haven't watched this in a long time. I forgot how good it is.
Really good.
It's
that first season is solid.
Yeah.
Second season, it was kind of more of a collection of just standalone episodes, I think. More or less.
Sort of. I mean, there was the overarching alien invasion plot.
Right, but at least there were more like standalone kind of.
There were more episodes that focused on particular teams.
Right, that's it. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
A lot of Miss Martian stuff.
I remember the Batgirl Miss Martian versus Lobo episode from season 2. That one was really good.
Yep. That was actually the beginning of season 2.
Yeah, that's right.
Because that's what set off the invasion is Lobo catches an alien masquerading as a guy at the UN.
Mm-hmm. And they were white Martians, weren't they?
No, they were.
Oh, they weren't?
No. Croatans or something like that? Creatanes?
I don't know. Probably something made of...
Little tiny guys.
Creatines?
They're
just like walking around with big buff
muscles.
They're
just muscles. Buff. Yeah. just swole. The swolest aliens. Yeah.
Against Lobo? Come on now. He's the main man.
Yeah. One of the saddest things that I can think of is we almost had a live-action Lobo movie starring Clancy Brown at one point.
That would have been amazing.
The Kurgan?
That would have been amazing.
From Highlander? That would be great. Just old gruff Lobo flying around on his, you know,
on his space motorcycle.
Space motorcycle, solving crimes and then creating them.
Punching Superman in the face.
Basically, yeah.
I really like Lobo. I think he has always been an underrated character.
Do you remember him on the Justice League Unlimited?
Yes.
Yes. With the voice of Brad Garrett?
Yeah.
Raymond.
He was trying. You always do that.
It's the one impression I can do of Brad Garrett is when he says Raymond from Everybody Loves Raymond. Okay, so sue me.
You should just do Kermit all the time.
well, okay.
I need to build up to it.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes me a minute, but, you know, it's not easy being green.
But no, yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
Moving on.
Moving on. Yes. Yeah, Young Justice. Amazing cartoon. It's honestly, for an animated series, it's super serious.
Yeah.
And it's the Teen Titans cartoon you always wanted, because you get decent doses of the team, mm-hmm. and they just always just call them the team.
Mm, yeah.
They never actually put a name on it.
Right, right, right.
The team. We lead the team. I led the team. It's the team.
So what you're telling me is you didn't want a Teen Titans show where they, like, you know, had funny little antics and were drawn like small children and you, like, ran around and did little adventures like that? Teen Titans Go style? That's not what you were looking for at all?
Depends on the day.
Teen Titans Go.
It can be funny.
It can be funny. The stuff with some of the adult superheroes in that is great. There's a scene with Batman playing like serious guitar riffs.
Oh yeah.
That one's pretty great.
Oh yeah. Anytime they bring up they ever show Batman, he's always chilling out with Commissioner Gordon.
And they're just laughing.
Yeah, they're just laughing like they're like stoned.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Well, I mean, we've all seen what J.K. Simmons look like now, so I assume that him and Batman work out together at all times.
Oh yeah.
So
only the swolest of crime fighting buddies.
Oof, my goodness.
Although I heard he's not getting buff for Justice League. He's doing another movie where he has to be like old man bodybuilder.
Oh.
And he's just
staying. Like a documentary?
Something like that. It's like the movie's called like I'm Not Here or something like that. I don't know.
I thought that was when he did already. Didn't I'm Not Here come out? Maybe I'm confusing.
No,
else.
No, that was.
I know he got in shape originally for Whiplash.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's buff.
Anyway, yeah.
He's very scary.
Yes. It is. It's terrifying.
What doesn't help is the beard. If he didn't have the giant scary beard. His beard is scary, Josh. Yours is good.
It's very unkempt.
Yeah.
Mine's very unkempt.
Nah,
not so bad.
You're also not rocking the like massive swole arms, so.
Shh.
I mean, yes, you are. You're totally rocking the massive
totally
swole
ripped.
Arms.
Totally ripped, ladies, yes.
I'm bench pressing right now. Both of you.
Just constantly, yeah. All right.
Have you guys been keeping up on Preacher at all?
What
you guys
I have not. I have not actually watched a single
watched
episode.
Watched a handful
you
of episodes.
You said you watched a handful. So yeah. What are your thoughts overall on it?
I think it's good. It's not very much like the comic, I'll tell you that.
It's definitely a prequel to the comic of sorts, and also a lot of changes. I only ever read the first two books and never finished the whole series.
Yeah, there's no way they could actually make the comic into a show. There's and put it on public television. There's no way it could happen.
It's
but
very rough.
For what they're doing, it's very good. And I think what's his name? Is it Dominic
Cooper?
Dominic, I can't say that word. Dominic Cooper. There we go. Got it.
Howard Stark, basically.
Yeah, nailed it in one. There we go. I think he does an excellent job as Jesse Custer.
I love the entire cast. The guy playing Cassidy, his name escapes me, but he's awesome. Like,
yeah.
One of the few times I've seen American television have somebody with an Irish accent, and they don't even try to hide it. Like, no, figure out what he's saying. Good luck.
Yeah, no, I think he does a very good job, too. But no, having not seen a whole lot of it, I'm into it.
Yeah, it's only, five episodes in right now?
Yeah, I think I've seen the first two, I think. So
I'm enjoying it a lot. It's definitely, it's not amazing yet, but I think it could get there. Mm. They did just renew it for another season, so it's got another shot. So
right, we were talking off mic,
not just a second season, an extended,
13
season.
Episodes. Yeah.
Cool. Well, we were talking off mic, and you mentioned that it might be better when it hits like Netflix or Hulu or whatever.
I think that show will have a stronger following when you can binge it all at once. Because as of right now, week to week, it's very slow paced. So
gotcha, and I can totally get that. Yeah. I totally see that.
That being said, I mean, I still enjoy it. I like to have the conversation about it every week after it's over and figure out what's going on with it. Similar to Game of Thrones, it's something nice to just decompress after it's done and see what's going on.
But right,
I'm enjoying it. It's definitely different. So what else have you guys been keeping up with this week then?
The Kardashians.
I mean,
not
you know,
really, no.
You can get that new Kanye West music video with all the other people he's singing with. So
no, nope, good.
yeah,
you know what blew my mind? Somebody told me this other day. I had not realized that. I guess I've been living on an internet rock. The fact that Tom Hiddleston and Taylor Swift are now dating.
Give it a week, and then she'll write a song about it.
I know, right?
That's kind of the whole thing. She must be out of ideas for songs. She must have a new album.
The next
she's
song
working
will be
on.
Like "Low Key Left Me."
Yeah, there we go. They should just get to the point where she's not even trying to hide, like, that's who she's writing about. Just, like, put their names, just make it as blatant as possible.
Every song title is now ex-boyfriend.
Yes.
It'll be like, I'm very sad this week, : Tom Hiddleston. That's the name of the song.
Yeah.
Man, I wish Crimson Peak would have been a good movie.
Oh, that's right. He was in that. Okay.
Yeah.
I have not seen that one yet, unfortunately. Well, maybe it sounds like not, unfortunately, if it wasn't very good, but...
Like, it's visually striking, but it's not great. Plus, it's got Charlie Hunnam in it. Jax from...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that dude. He's not very good in it either.
Well, that's Pacific Rim guy, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you hear they're making a second one?
I know, I'm super excited. And in fact, John Boyega's in it.
Yeah.
As the lead.
Yeah, even better. As long as what's her name? Rinko Kikuchi.
Oh, yes.
As long as she comes back, I'm down. I'm
please?
In.
Please?
Yes, please. You. And also, because she was a very good actress.
She was. It also helps. She's also a very attractive Japanese lady.
That helps.
And I want more giant monster and giant robot, you know, butt kicking times.
Yeah.
When am I going to get Big Guy and Rusty movie? That's what I want.
What I would like to see for this is post monster apocalypse, giant robots has become a sport. Giant robot boxing.
So like just real steel, but on a Titanic scale?
Yes, that's exactly what I want.
You know, what sounds like right up your aisle is the new PlayStation VR game coming out later this year, the giant robot mini golf game.
I want to play that a lot.
Yeah, that looks so good.
Really good.
Yeah. When the robots aren't fighting, they go to play some golf.
That's excellent.
In the middle of cities.
There's a PC version of it, too. You don't quite get the whole VR experience.
If you can't play it in VR, then why would you play it?
Yeah, true. Well, because I don't want to spend $400 on a on a headset that's going to be phased out in like a couple years.
when the VR, you know, kick has done.
Listen, when they can put VR technology into just a regular pair of sunglasses or like a contacts or something.
Contacts.
Yeah,
just
seriously.
Embed that computer in my eyeball.
Just plug it right into my brain. Done. The end.
I will say,
jack into the Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
Going into VR, I had no expectations of it. I didn't think it was going to be very good. But like having seen a lot more of the footage, like basically putting the headset on somebody so they can't see the real world anymore. But then you hand them the controller and they reach out and grab it because they see where it's at in the virtual world. That's pretty amazing. Like,
okay,
that sold me on it pretty hard.
That sounds pretty cool.
It's still a pricey investment, so especially if you're
for Vive or
Oculus Rift, like $800 plus getting an amazing rig. So
yeah.
At least the PlayStation VR, you know, it's on the more affordable range, and affordable in quotations there. So
yeah,
like I want one. I want one bad because I want to play that X-Wing game.
Yeah, and the Star Trek Bridge game.
Yes,
that looks really good.
Oh my god. I am so excited for that game.
But if I can play it with LeVar Burton. I'll even take Jonathan Frakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have him sit real weird on that chair. Yeah.
Have him stepping over chairs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
His long spider legs. God. Seriously, I've watched I never realized how often he did it until I watched a Next Generation video of him doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Just... like a compilation of all these times you stepped over chairs.
Would you say it was beyond belief?
There we go. Got it.
I hate myself for that.
You should.
Oh, God.
As a joke that like five people will get.
Yeah, it's okay. We have five listeners. It's all good.
Our parents will get it.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Just keep on bench pressing. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, gains. With my protein powder.
Well, you know what? I think we've rambled enough. Let's go ahead and take a break here. And when we come back, we'll talk about some news.
Yeah.
Nerd Overload is sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes. MB Subculture is the one-stop shop for all your geeky needs, from comics and collectibles to unique custom costumes, masks, makeup, and more. MB Subculture is located at 127 South Sandusky Avenue in downtown Bucyrus, 419-562-0404, and online at subcultureoh.com.
All right, we're back. That was the new Ghostbusters theme by Fall Out Boy featuring Missy Elliott. What'd you guys think?
Bustin' doesn't make me feel as good anymore, I guess.
Yeah, it's... I don't know how to feel about it.
It's a roller coaster of emotion.
Musically, I'm okay with it. Like, I like the music behind it. the lyrics are not as good.
Not great.
Not that I had a lot to work with to begin with, but
yeah, I'm glad they kept elements of the original, the Ray Parker Jr. But I just hope this theme song isn't indicative of the rest of the film.
It's like I said, it's not as fun as the original.
Yeah. I don't know.
But also, are we only thinking about the original because, you know, it's Ghostbusters and we're sitting through with rose-tinted glasses?
That's very true. Yeah.
I just don't know if I could play that song for a younger kid if they're going to want to... Like, when I was a kid, I would get up and dance around with that. That was a song I would, you know, get excited to hear. I can't imagine that the sound of that song is going to make you want to dance, I guess.
Well, it's that. Then that's, you know, then Fall Out Boy did their job.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's...
in their job to make you dance? I thought that was the whole point.
Yeah, there we go. I don't like it. I don't think I like it, but...
We'll see. I hate it, but it's not... But it's not good.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm pretty ambivalent about it. I don't like it. I also don't love it. It's not... Yeah. I don't know.
It's paltry at best.
It's not good enough for me to hate it either.
Yeah. See, there you go. Yeah. But hopefully the movie is much better. The song has nothing to do with...
I just know when I need to walk out of the movie.
Yeah.
Credits start rolling, that song starts playing.
Time to go.
Go. Yep. I'm out.
Yeah.
But knowing me, I will probably sit till the end of the credits because...
Marvel movies have trained us for after credits
sequences.
Sam, you and I even sat after the credits for the Mystery Science Theater reunion,
thinking something was going to pop up. Yeah, yeah. But oh well. Hey, it's a song.
It was played.
It definitely is a song. That's correct.
Yes,
there is some musical elements to it.
Yeah. So let's get into some news here. Let's start with a kind of a weird one. Crystal Pepsi's coming back.
Yes.
Along with all those favorite 90s cartoons, you can get your 90s drinks.
Oh, yeah.
Praise the sun.
I guess I never had Crystal Pepsi when I was a kid.
Oh, my God, I had it too
much. Does it just taste like Pepsi?
I don't remember. It's been so long.
Speaking of those rose-colored glasses.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I actually looked this up the other day. Crystal Pepsi ran from 1992 to 1993.
Wow. Long run time.
That's why I don't remember it then.
Yes. And I used to drink the living crap out of it. I don't like dark sodas, and maybe it tricked my brain into that. I don't know.
Who knows?
But I remember loving it very much, much like Surge and every other lemon lime drink ever came out.
This is absolutely a retaliation for Surge returning.
Ecto Cooler.
Yeah, the whole 90s nostalgia wave is coming back.
Hard.
I can't be happier about it. This is great. I love it. I love 90s nostalgia.
So what's the next Pepsi to come back? Pepsi Blue? Do you remember that one?
I do remember Pepsi Blue.
Pepsi Blue was one.
Yeah, I remember that. What were some of the other weird ones?
How about the original Pepsi Vanilla with not the throwback sugar? Pepsi Twist.
Pepsi Twist. Yeah.
You know what I wish? I wish Pepsi wouldn't have dropped the ball on their Back to the Future one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember they were selling them in the glass bottles and
They were plastic.
Plastic, but they were like super expensive, weren't they?
They were super expensive, and they didn't tell anybody who was following them when it was happening.
Right, and it was just regular Pepsi in the bottle.
Yeah, it was just regular Pepsi. It was the cool bottle.
Yeah,
it was the Back to the Future bottle.
Which, to be fair, you can get people's recreations of that on eBay for years now. Granted, they cost a bit, but it's the same as the real Pepsi bottle now at this point.
Yeah,
pretty much.
True. But no, along with the Crystal Pepsi, they're releasing a game. It's like it's like the Crystal Pepsi Trail is what they're calling it. It's Oregon Trail, but the 90s.
On the hunt for Crystal Pepsi.
Yeah. And
in your old station wagon.
The old 8-bit graphics, but everything's neon and
awesome.
You have to worry about your Tamagotchi dying and all this stuff. Looks great.
Oh my God. You know, all the things we did at the time when Crystal Pepsi came out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Grunge music and Tamagotchis.
Oh, man. Get my acid-washed jeans out of storage. Heck yeah. Heck yeah, man. Did you guys have Tamagotchis when you were kids?
Yes.
I did have a Tamagotchi, but I was rather young, and I never took care of it, and it died. So.
My sister had one. She had one, and I would have to babysit from time to time. I let that thing poop all over the place.
Me and my sister both had one.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I always wanted the... Digimon, because Digimon was originally
the Digimon one. I had the Digimon one too.
Oh, you did?
Was
it as fun as the commercials made it out to be?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I was really into Digimon when I was a kid.
Oh, that first season was pretty good. I'm not an anime guy. But
I've actually gone back and I rewatched a little bit of it.
Yeah,
it's
dated
a little bit. And also the fact that if you watch the American one where they changed the names, and it was part of that era where they would take a Japanese anime and instead of just dubbing it and just letting you ride the wave, they tried to Americanize it a little bit.
Sure.
Like there's a guy named Joe and, you know, American names.
Yeah.
It's rough.
It's a sign of the times.
It was a sign of the times. Like the Sailor Mooning of fighting monsters.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But
you mean with Amy Anderson and and Serena and Tad.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember. Darren.
Darren.
That was his name.
Darian.
Darren. Something like that.
I don't know what's happening. I was watching Spider-Man in the X.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
You know, with Mary Jane and J. Jonah and Brock and Misty and Ash.
Yeah, I remember Misty and Ash. Spider-Man saved them all the time.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
I choose you, Spider-Chew.
Spider-Mon. Yeah, it kind of works.
Yeah, kind of, anyway. A little bit.
Anyway. Oh, God, we're punchy today.
Oh, a little bit. Let's get going on to something else here. Josh, what can you tell us about this BioShock remaster thing coming out?
On the topic of remastering video games here, we got the BioShock 1. They're doing BioShock 1, BioShock 2, and BioShock Infinite, all remastered in a collection coming out September 13th. It's going to be $60. It's going to have all the downloadable content they ever released for those games, so a good chance to play Minerva's Den for BioShock 2, which was a really good one. I think a lot of people missed out on some of those DLCs, so it'll be interesting to see, like, the reactions they have to that when it actually comes out. So I haven't seen who's developing it.
We tried looking that up.
Because I don't know if Irrational would take the time to actually do all that again.
I don't know. I don't even know if Irrational is still around, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. So I do know that Ken Levine will have some interviews on there.
Oh, that's good.
So that's something interesting.
Yeah.
So that's a good remaster coming out. Another remaster that's not coming anytime soon now is the Batman Arkham City and Arkham Asylum remastered.
That's right.
They are delayed indefinitely.
That is a bad sign. Yeah.
What was going on was they were being ported over using Unreal Engine 4. Somehow in the process of upgrading to the new engine, they actually made it look worse than it originally did. So,
yikes.
Putting the new character models onto those new higher res models just wasn't working out so hot for that.
That is rough. And they just announced that recently too, didn't they?
It had been rumored for months, and then they officially announced it, a month ago.
Okay.
And then
it was before E3 though, right?
It was like a couple weeks before E3 was the official announcement.
Okay.
So,
Hopefully
we'll see it at some point. I mean, I would love to play through those games again, but
I'd love to play through those games, you know, the first time.
You are missing out on some fantastic Batman stories. So.
I know, but it's just something I never, I don't know.
Arkham City is fantastic. The newer one, Arkham Knight, if you want to play as Batman driving a tank like Ben Affleck, I mean, you can get that. It's not quite as strong, but they're good.
I just wish, you know, I could play it on my PC.
Arkham Knight? Yeah, it ain't happening.
No, I know.
Yeah. No kidding with that one.
It got removed, but I think it's back now, actually.
I would still recommend not doing that.
Yeah.
I have your solution. We're going to go to the store. We're going to get you a PlayStation 4 or an Xbox One and just, you know, put that next to your PC and just play it through that instead.
There we go. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah.
Do it.
Let's see. Moving on to a little bit of movie stuff, I guess.
We can talk about some old directors not liking new movies.
Yeah, let's do that. Sure. Why not? So James Cameron, I guess, in an interview kind of danced around not enjoying the new Star Wars movies, I guess.
Is very much pointing out that he felt it was a retread of the original movies, which, to be fair, it is a retread of sorts, but it's a good retread.
It sets up the new, the next stage, I guess.
Yeah, it was very much going back and rewatching about it and thinking about it. The movie was good, but it's very much we have to tell you this story so that we can tell you the next story. Like, they had to get all the players in place and get people familiar with them enough so that they, the story they want to tell with these characters, they can do in the eight and nine.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, Force Awakens was just a fun movie to watch.
It absolutely was. And it fits in with the original trilogy a lot more than the prequels.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Definitely. Absolutely.
Definitely.
And, I mean, James Cameron, I kind of feel, is one of the last people that can talk about anything about retreading stories. I mean, Avatar is just a retread of a basic Pocahontas-type story, so...
It's Ferngully.
Yeah, Ferngully, yeah.
It's Ferngully on an alien planet.
Well, I don't know how much of this is sour grapes, because I know he and George Lucas were our buddies, and I don't know, maybe he was at one... Wasn't he at one point attached to a Star Wars... Or a Star Wars side story or something. At one point,
He was supposed to be attached to a Halo film.
Too.
I'm sure he also helped out special effects wise back in those days too.
I'm sure he did, especially the prequels. Sure, yeah. But I don't know how much of this is him just going, I wish I did this movie.
Defending his friend George, who I imagine feels like he was ousted from Star Wars.
He sold that of his own volition.
Mm-hmm. He has no right to complain.
As soon as he received that check, his involvement with Star Wars ended. So he has no room to complain about what they do with his characters.
I think mostly they're just mad because everyone loves the new movie so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's probably getting tired of people saying, oh man, these are so much better than the prequels, which he had a direct, like more direct hands-on than the originals.
His defense too, I would be tired of hearing that as well. I mean, you wouldn't want everybody to tell you, hey, yours were bad and mine was awesome.
Like, oh, sure.
You know.
Oh yeah. I totally get that.
Yeah, but you know, you can't cry over spilt milk when you spilled it yourself.
Yeah. And I don't know if George Lucas had any ideas that would work within these next films, or if he had an idea for a side story.
Because there's plenty of those coming out.
I'm sure they would invite him back into it. I have no doubt that they would.
I don't know if you saw the information or the rumor that apparently somebody said that they think the Han Solo solo movie is apparently one of the best Star Wars stories ever written, which, coming from a Star Wars employee, probably doesn't mean much, but take that with what
a little bit of that's hyping up, sure. Yeah. But I just wonder at what point in Han's backstory they're going to set this movie. Is it going to be him as a flunk out of the Imperial
Academy? Or
is it going to be him rescuing Chewie from Bosk's race?
The Trandoshans.
Yes, that one.
The lizard men.
Not the Gorn. That's the one I was thinking of.
Are these even canon storylines now, or
we don't even know?
We don't know. I mean, a lot of that was extended universe books and comics.
I mean, for all we know now, he could have got Chewbacca as a Christmas present. So, you
know. Oh, geez, yeah.
Well, at least he stuck with the responsibility.
Yeah, his Tamagotchi.
I've always wondered: is the holiday special, is that still considered canon?
Yes. I'm throwing it down right now. Okay. Bea Arthur is part of my Star Wars canon. Yes.
Oh man, yeah.
Happy Life Day.
Yes.
Happy Lumpy?
Lumpy, yeah. Mm. What if we see that at some point? We just see Lumpy and Grumpy and Mala?
Then I will stand up in the theater and clap.
Yes.
It'll be much like when we watch Guardians of the Galaxy.
You always bring this up.
It's my favorite story from you.
Yeah, yeah. We went to see Guardians of the Galaxy, and they had that the thing at the end with Howard the Duck, and I stood up and yelled, "Oh my God, it's Howard the Duck!" in a crammed theater.
In a movie tavern.
Yes,
we had
it was.
One guy in my theater, dead silence, and one man goes, "Yeah!"
It was Sam.
Yeah. It makes me wonder, do you think we're ever going to see a Howard the Duck Marvel?
Probably not.
I would love, you know what?
A dark Netflix series.
Oh, there we go. Gritty, Detective Duck. Yeah, that would be, actually, that'd be kind of cool. You know what I would like
to see? A crossover with Jessica Jones.
You know what? You joke. What I would like to see is, you know how they used to do those one shots?
Yeah.
Yes.
What if they got Leah Thompson in, and it's S.H.I.E.L.D. interviewing Leah Thompson talking about, she's, you know, I got to find my friend. This seems like your area. Because he's a short duck man from another planet, and they explain that he's been living on Earth, and that's where the collector picked him up from Cleveland. He's just been in Cleveland with, you know, managing the cherry bombs for all these years, and she's gone to S.H.I.E.L.D. to try to find him.
Oh, man.
And they wouldn't even have to see Howard the Duck. It would just be S.H.I.E.L.D. agent and Leah Thompson talking about, dancing around the fact that it's a 3-foot talking duck.
Maybe you'll get your wish on the Civil War Blu-ray coming out September 13th.
That would be, yeah, that would actually be really cool.
Please bring back the shorts. Those were amazing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The one shots. Oh, what was it? The funny thing that happened on the way to Thor's hammer.
Agent Phil Coulson being amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or good stuff. Hail to the King.
Yes, that was a very good
one.
The
real Mandarin.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good one.
Or the Agent Carter one that they totally messed up the continuity of with the TV show.
But. Well, whatever. The show was great, though.
Yes, it was.
It's all good. It's all good. So anyway, we're talking about Marvel stuff. We might as well move on to this one. About a month ago. Actually, it would have been about a month ago.
It was a month ago.
We discussed how Captain America is a secret Hydra agent.
Captain Nazi.
Well, actually, technically, Hydra's not part of the Nazi party anymore.
Semantics.
Yeah, well, sure.
But the fact that a Red Skull makes a lot of even other villains uncomfortable.
Well, yeah, sure. And at the time, I said, this is going to get retconned. This isn't something.
Oh, yeah, we were all saying it.
Yeah, we were all saying it because we all know comics.
I think the entire internet yelled that out loud.
Well,
that,
everybody who didn't know comics went nuts over it. And people who do know comics were like, yeah, this is a stunt. Whatever.
Just wait, he'll die next week.
Yeah, it's cool. He'll die, he'll come back, and everything will be good. Well, the second issue of Steve Rogers' Captain America
came out
this past week. And they... did not the mystery was not long lived. They went ahead and just revealed exactly what's going on, and it to the writer Nick Spencer's credit, he said that it has nothing to do with mind control, and he technically
very,
was correct.
Very technical.
Yeah, the whole thing is very convoluted. The previous Captain America storyline involved S.H.I.E.L.D. creating a town called Pleasant Hill and using a cosmic cube to keep villains docile. I guess.
In the town. On that word.
And the crux of that story is the cosmic cube, which is the all powerful kind of thing. Well, in the first Captain America movie, the blue glowing thing.
Yep.
Yeah. That
the Tesseract, what they call it in the movies.
Yeah, exactly.
For all you casual superhero fans out there.
Hey, don't call them casuals. That's everyone's a fan. It's cool. The cosmic cube shattered. And it took on, because it's sentient, it took on the form of like a 4-year-old girl, because that's where it's level of sentience was kind of at. It was, you know, because it had the mind of a young kid. It took the form of a young kid. And Red Skull decided, hey, I could use this to my advantage. So there's actually panels of the comic where the Red Skull is reading this little girl who was a sentient, God cube, a bedtime story about how Hydra is the heroes of World War II. And
she's like, read it again, read it again.
Yeah, exactly. So he has convinced this little girl who can alter the past and implant mind, whatever, to implant a false memory in Steve Rogers of him being recruited into Hydra when he was like 5 years old. And that's why he hasn't been a Hydra agent forever. He just thinks
he has.
He's been a Hydra agent forever. And technically it's not mind control because he's doing things of his own free will. Yeah. It's just his free will is being twisted into believing that he's always been a Hydra agent.
And it's cool that they actually didn't waste time revealing that, because now we can actually have a storyline that's like, how does these things affect like what's going to happen with him, which is a lot more interesting than just trying to lead out a mystery of like, why is he?
Yeah. So. See, if DC did this, we would have had a full year of he's a secret Hydra agent and has been forever. And then they'll retcon it at least with this story. At least now we know what's going on and we can move past it and get to the meat
of the
story.
Can calm their collective shorts.
Well, that won't be happening.
No, never, never, never in a million years.
Never, ever. Nope.
But no, I'm still gonna pick it up. I've never been a regular reader of Captain America, to be honest with you.
I really haven't either.
His stories always seem a little dry to me. But I picked up the first issue. I'll pick up this one. They might have gotten a new reader out of me.
I wish I could be a reader every month, but I can't afford to get the comics every single month, so I have to wait for the trades. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, it's, collecting trades, there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, no. I mean,
they look better on a shelf.
They
do. Yeah.
That's why I'm waiting for my next issue of Saga coming out here.
Next week. Yeah. Really good stuff.
I'm very excited to read the next one of that. So.
I'm kind of excited there's new Fables coming out.
I don't read Fables.
Really?
I really
super enjoyed Fables.
Fables is good once upon a time.
am I
wrong?
Once upon a time definitely did rip off Fables for sure. Although, to be fair, I mean, it's just classic stories anyway. Yeah. But
Bill Willingham's Fables is really good. I liked it a lot.
Amazing.
Well, it's the Wolf Among Us game. So.
Yes. Yeah.
That was the prequel. And then they eventually brought it out in a comic form.
They sure did.
I don't know. Have you guys read Have you read Paper Girls? Have you heard of that one yet? It's another Brian K. Vaughan.
I've heard of it. I haven't really gotten around to it.
I'm in the same boat.
It's,
yeah,
it's a weird one. But
well, sure, it's Brian K. Vaughan.
It's another one that's kind of building off that late '80s, early '90s nostalgia, and it's basically four girls out delivering papers in the morning, and then like basically the universe starts like getting monsters invading it, and they have to go and fight them. And it's a strange story, but Vaughn definitely does amazing dialogue, so that always saves any weird story he might be making. So.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a book that's going to be coming out soon. It's Matt Fraction and Chip Zdarsky. It's a superhero book. Let me look up the name of it because I want to actually
talk about it.
Okay. So I found it. It is, the comic's going to be called The Recidivist. It's just a superhero book. They've only really had a short interview about it. Matt Fraction and Chip Zdarsky, they do a comic together called Sex Criminals for, I think it's Image.
It's really good.
It's really, really good. Fraction's also been a superhero writer, comic writer for quite some time. He most recently did the Hawkeye book for Marvel. And Zdarsky is an artist, but he's also writing Howard the Duck and has probably one of the goofiest online personas I've ever seen of any creator ever. Like the time he totally trolled his local Applebee's on Facebook for like a year. Like he would answer, like he would respond like he's a good pal with the person running their Facebook account to the point they're like, hey, Chip, come on in, get your Applewood smoked cheeseburger and all this stuff and all this crazy stuff. But anyway, the interview they gave Fraction was like, yeah, it's a superhero book, but it's us. So. You know, and that's where he left it. So I mean, it's going to be weird. I'm sold. Yeah. I really like those two working together. I think it's really great. I'm looking forward to it. What are we talking about? comic series that we were looking forward to.
Yes,
that's it.
We were talking about comics.
There we go.
Yeah. Anything Matt Fraction. I like his writing. I like Vaughn's writing. So yeah. Like I tend to go, I look for the good writer and I kind of hunt out their stuff from there.
Yeah.
So
see, I'm that way with art. If the art's good, I'll dig it. I'll dig into it.
That was one of the reasons I actually couldn't keep reading through Preacher. Is like it was good art, but it's so grungy.
Uh-huh.
It almost became hard to look at after a while.
At times, sure, I get that.
Especially certain characters in the book. So if you guys watch the show, you would know which character I'm talking about.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
he's a pretty man.
But no, I actually did that with. I really like Babs Tarr's work on the Batgirl series, the most recent one.
Oh, yeah. That redesign of Batgirl is one of my favorite redesigns in comics ever.
And she's the same team as has left that book, but is going on to do their own independent book called Motor Crush, which is Biker Girls. And I'm in.
Yes. Interesting.
Yeah. With Tarr's art style. Yeah, yeah. I'm totally in.
Interesting.
Yeah. But anyway, let's keep going on to a little bit extra here. So we have a second moon.
Sort of.
Yeah. I don't know anything about this other than, you know.
So basically the way science works and...
Enlighten me.
Yeah.
Science.
Teach me, Dr. Josh.
Rah, 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 rah.
All right, shut up.
He's still bench pressing. You should just...
There we go.
Push my nerd glasses. Drink my protein shakes.
All right.
So basically a celestial body. I'm not sure quite if it's an asteroid. It's not huge, but it's not... I don't think it's enough to really affect our relationship with the moon, gravitationally wise, anyway. But essentially, we have another planetoid-ish thing circling the Earth, which is also circling the sun with us.
Okay, cool.
And it's basically going to be hovering around there for the next at least 100 years.
Oh, yeah. Right on.
Its amazing name is Asteroid 2016 HO3.
Oh, man.
Thanks, NASA.
Yeah.
Rolls right off the tongue.
Yeah.
so this is it's kind of a moon but not really. It's just is it visible in the night sky or is it just kind of we
not
don't know
really?
Yeah,
it's far enough out that it doesn't affect us.
Good.
And it doesn't and it won't get any closer to pose a danger.
Oh, that's well I'm way less
basically
stressed about it now.
It's just the way the gravitational fields work in tandem with the Earth and the Moon. It's kind of like stuck in a perpetual space dance.
Oh, cool. Love dancing.
Here's my question. Does it have worms in its surface, and can I hide my ship in there? That's a Star Wars joke.
I know.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of a proper response.
There's no proper response. I would just move on.
I'm sitting here trying to
We can mine it for the spice.
Oh, there we go, dude. Nice. Bravo. I was sitting here trying to figure out how I can work "that's no moon" into the conversation. So there. That's no moon.
You did it.
Did it.
We're all
nailed
proud
it.
Of you.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Well, speaking of spices, we can also talk about the amazing thing you can do on Twitch now.
I don't know really if it's amazing.
You can watch people eat food.
Thanks, Twitch, for ruining everything.
Yeah.
You don't have to watch it.
I won't.
You don't there have you to.
Because
you're going to want to watch it.
I know. I'm not. I can't stand the sounds of people eating. I don't want to watch.
That's a good spice worm.
It's essential for space travel.
This episode brought to you by Mouth Sounds.
Let me drink my Crystal Pepsi.
There we go. Yeah.
Oh.
So you're not into the ASMR food eating thing?
No, it's not my thing.
Not your thing. Okay.
Not my thing.
No.
It angers me, actually.
Really? Is it really doing that much to you?
If I can hear you eat, I have fantasized about your death.
I bet you have some awkward dates.
I'm not looking at their food.
Well, all right. Well,
good point. All right. But anyway, I mean, hey, I think it's dumb, but...
If you're into it, man, just you enjoy it.
Yeah.
So. Oh, yeah. I'm not going to...
Chase your bliss. Do whatever you want. I don't care.
To be fair, a lot of those people that you watch on Twitch, you're not watching for the content they make. You're watching for the personality they have.
Oh, sure.
So if there's an amazing person on there that, like, you know, is eating a pizza from a day ago and they're making it funny, why not?
Yeah.
Drunk yoga.
There we go. Drunk yoga. Yeah. And, you know, I'll be honest. I don't go out watching people eat. I'm not into that. But there are some
sure?
YouTube channels.
We didn't see you at the Applebee's last week? Out in nice. The corner?
Thanks. Yeah, no.
Not me, because I don't do that, please.
No,
Buffalo Wild Wings, please. No.
Yeah. But no, I watch, there are some YouTube channels that I watch, and it's a lot of their content is people from outside of the U.S. trying American different kinds of foods. And getting the reaction from them, I'm kind of into, because it's a situation
it's
that...
It's a cultural thing.
It's more of a cultural thing. And if this Twitch thing has something kind of like that, I mean, I wouldn't put it on 24/7, but I'd tune into it.
It's no Bob Ross.
No, of course not. No. Oh, man, Bob Ross. I can watch that forever. Well, no.
You can now.
I can watch it for 5 minutes and then pass out because...
Yes.
The gentle scrapings of the happy trees, man. That just...
Happy little accidents.
Done. Just done. But, but hey, you know, everyone has their thing, and some people, this is going to be their thing. Why not?
It sounds like that one Korean lady just needs to get on there.
She probably will.
More than likely.
I don't know what you're talking about now.
She's this Korean girl who does really weird crap with food.
It's yeah, that borderline's gross, though, because it's just...
Like, seriously, she dressed like a mermaid, sat in a refrigerator, and did weird stuff with squid.
Yeah, just slapped herself with a squid. It was weird.
It was super weird.
It was real weird.
Feeling a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, that was not a good one. But hey, Twitch, they're branching out from video games, and that's good. They kind of need to, I guess. It's still the majority of their content.
There's only so much, you know, League of Legends I can watch, I guess.
Well, yeah.
Or Overwatch right now.
That's the big one. Yeah.
Well, at least I play that one.
Yeah. but no, why not? What the hell?
I'm game. Yeah. I'll watch one.
Not
why not?
Your game.
Eh.
Twitch.
Ha.
Nailed it. Perfect joke. A 10 out of 10. All right. Well, on that amazing quality content joke. Yeah, let's get on out of here. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can also find us at Facebook at facebook.com/nerdoverload website.
You can tweet us a tweet if you'd like at @nerd_overload.
You can also email us any questions, concerns, maybe things you want us to talk about at staff@nerdoverload.com.
We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Go over there. Give us a listen. That's pretty cool. We're also on WZMOFM.com on Saturdays at 10 a.m. and 9 p.m.
Or on 107.5 FM.
If you're in the
listening area.
Yeah.
At those times.
Marion, basically.
Yep.
Boy, this is weird with just two of us doing this.
Yeah.
We usually go around the room and each have our thing to say.
I've got no help for you on this one.
Yeah, before we go, Josh, do you have anything that you want to promote or anything like that, I guess?
I've got no promotions, but I mean, thanks you guys for having me on.
Hey,
no
problem. I'm glad you came in. We'll have to get you back on sometime. So until next week, thanks for tuning in. And Cody's usually
pizza out.
Pizza out. Yeah, that's
pizza
what I usually
out.
Pizza out.
Man, now I'm hungry.
This show was sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes.